The Bing Crosby Show, transcribed in Hollywood and brought to you by new coffee flavor Instant Postum, the caffeine-free hot beverage that lets you sleep, and Lanolin Plus Liquid, a wonderful penetrating way to end dry skin worries overnight while you sleep. And now, here's Bing Crosby.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Here's one of the new popular ballads. I thought I'd have it go ready.
Buddy?
How important can it be that I taste it up in me? That was long before you came to me with the wonder of your tears. Oh, the story got around, not an old romance to me, but it happened oh so long ago. How important can it be? Mine was a young and a foolish heart, seeking love at every turn. But I have grown so much wiser now, even foolish hearts can learn. Let the past fade away, I get lost in yesterday. Most important thing is here and now, and our love is here to stay.
Thank you.
headline about a bloodline today. And when we see the landlord, we can look that guy smack dab in the eye. We'll do some money. Come on, honey. Let's spend it. Let's land it. Let's spend it, land it, send it rolling.
Folks, tonight I'd like to talk about a gentleman named Washington Irving. His birthday was celebrated yesterday. I don't know just how much it was celebrated, but I do think we could devote a little time now to the great American writer who, to say the least, made the Catskill Mountains famous long, long, long before anyone ever dreamed that these picturesque hills would one day be glorified by swanky boat tickets to the shores. For over 100 years now, literary critics have had more than a little trouble trying to put Washington Irving in a definite place in the literary world and getting to stay there. Just when they get him neatly filed away as a short story writer, why he pops up as a journalist or a biographer or a satirist or maybe a historian. Problem, pinning down a man who's traveled so widely in the field of literature. I don't suppose it's too surprising, for Washington Irving in his life traveled just as widely geographically as his writings did in the literary world. And there were so many periods in his life and so many seeming contradictions that literary critics probably never will be able to put any one label on him and make it really apply, make it stick. First of all, even though he was one of the leading writers of the day in both America and England, and he was to receive an honorary doctor's degree from Oxford in his lifetime, Washington Irving was actually is completely lacking in formal education. This, I'm told, was intentional on the part of his father. You see, Washington Irving was the youngest of 11 children. His father had sent two of his older brothers to university, and I understand he regretted this quite a bit later. He didn't make what he considered the same mistake with his son, Washington. Washington and Irving made up for his lack of schooling by omnivorous and enthusiastic reading of English authors, particularly talking, thinking. Travel and writing went together. As he was concerned, he started writing humorous sketches at the age of 19 for a newspaper owned by his older brother. At 21, he developed signs of lung trouble. He spent the next 2 years traveling through England and the continent in the process, fully recovering from his ailment. I don't know why that climate was considered salubrious for pulmonary afflictions, but he got over it anyhow. He had at 16 years of age entered the law office, and on his return from Europe, he was admitted to the bar. But he never practiced the law. It seems he preferred writing to talking, and he stuck to his quill with a will. It was unfortunate that the greatest success of Washington Irving's life was preceded by the great tragedy of his life, the death of the girl to whom he was engaged. This happened only a month before the publication of his Knickerbocker Holiday, which was a big success, and it established him as one of the leading literary lights of his day. Can't be said that Washington Irving starved in a garret, or that he had to endure hardship to fix his writing. In fact, it was just the other way around. Two of his older brothers made him a partner in their importing firms in order to provide him the means, without his contributing either time or labor to the business, and that he could continue his writing. Later, the importing business failed, but by this time, Washington Irving was a leading literary figure. He had some means, and so he was able to repay his two brothers by taking them in at his farm at the Tarrytown, New York. I suppose Washington is best known for two short stories from his sketchbook. You know, The Legend of Sleepy Hollow and the immortal Richard Van Winkle. However, as is so often the case, short story writing is as his goal. He himself considered himself primarily a biographer. In 1826, he went to Madrid, Spain, where he wrote a comprehensive history of the life and the voyages of Christopher Columbus. He was so popular there that 15 years later, he returned as the American Minister to Spain. And today, there's a hotel named after Washington Irving in Granada, Spain. His works translated into Spanish are among the most popular foreign authors there. I've stopped at the Washington Irving in Granada. It's a nice, neat place, very nice hostelry. It's really easy access to the Hamlet of La Lisa. to the Alhambra, the gypsy caves across the gorge. That's a fabulous spot, you know. All his life, Washington Irving really wanted to write a comprehensive biography of his namesake, George Washington. He swore he'd do it if it was the last thing he did, and sure enough it was. But the work told on him, and when he finished the fifth and last volume, he was a broken man. Soon after, he died. He did achieve his life's ambition, though, which I suppose is the achievement that any man really seeks. Now I think I should segue to song. And I do so with some fond memories when sing to another.
Soundly all night long. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy.